everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this special Drinksgiving, Friendsgiving episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Lindsay, who needs a sombrero, so somebody send her one fast. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
You, however, do not need a sombrero.
I do not.
No. I don't know. Something about sombreros and dancing illegally in New Mexico.
Obviously. Well, the funny thing is, like, with the group chat, if you, like, are not paying attention to the group chat, and, like, sometimes really random things pop up as the last notification on the group chat. Yeah. And that was it.
That was it. I mean, it's always entertaining, right?
We do what we can.
It's a good time.
I do have to share a little bit. So I had Ann Kelly Reeds in my DMs today because she's like, I heard you had some wacky Christmas wrecks on your episode this week. I listened to them, but I had the two of the monsters. Can you tell me the rest? So I gave her all of the ones, like that elfed one that was the candy cane.
All of the unhinged ones.
She wanted all the naughty unhinged ones. So
yeah, Kelly likes the unhinged.
Yeah. She's like, these could not be better. So if you're listening and you would like unhinged Christmas wrecks, send me a DM and I will happily share them over. They were wild. Some of those were like,
wait, did you read the Cleo Evans one? It's like, oh wait, was hers the thruple where
hers
it's like
is...
they're lumbered?
Hers is Krampus.
No,
and the Yeti.
No, the new one.
This is not.
He's a lumberjack and something else.
No, this isn't in that world. This is like, so the hero and the heroine are married and they go to this like cabin, but he won't like do anything. And then there's two lumberjacks that they rescue from outside and like do all these things with them, but then you find out at the end of the book that the four of them are in a relationship, but like as the book progresses you don't know that,
so it's like role playing.
Yeah,
it's like a
big old one.
Oh, it's
that
the
we were talking
about
the one
about
Heather like immediately put on her TBR.
yes
yeah, that one was really good, but there's a book two to that too.
Did read The Gifted to his
stepfather. I read that one, the Jay Wilder.
I read
that one a lot too.
Anyway, okay, so speaking of role-playing, but not that kind of role-playing. Way to segue.
It was a natural segue.
It was very natural. On this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we are reviewing Role-Playing by Kathy Yardley. I am ashamed to say that I believe this has been on my TBR since it came out.
Same. Me
too. I think I saw it on NetGalley and said, I'll get to it, but I just can't download it right now.
Well, I just really love the cover, too.
Mm-hmm. The cover's adorable, but honestly, like, I am kicking myself super hard for not reading this sooner.
Yeah, this was a really good read.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I am going to be reading all the things by her now.
All the things by her. Well, did I tell you I found out that she's an editor? And do you know whose editor she is?
You told me.
Kelly Jameson. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. okay, so who wants to read all the things?
I can read all the things.
Okay, Leah, read all the things.
So this was
I was looking for Heather.
July 1st, 2023. The tropes are close proximity, friends to lovers, nerdy, over 40 main characters, second chance at love. It is a slow, slow burn.
Yes.
It reps LGBTQIA and it is multicultural. It is a standalone. It is dual third person point of view. The put out percentage is 80%. Like I said, it is slow, slow burn. Audio narrators are Chris Brinkley and Elise Din. Mm-hmm. And it is available in Kindle Unlimited and as a read and listen.
So I did listen to the audiobook. I have a question for Jenny because I think she knows. Is Chris Brinkley from the South?
Yes, and he does all of Penny Reed.
He does all of Penny Reed stuff, and I knew that.
Well, he does most of Smarty Pants, too.
Well, yeah.
He does all of the ones in Green Valley. He doesn't do all of them because her Nick and C ones, like, they have others, but she does a lot. Basically anything with like a southern style, not like a southern style accent, because he doesn't really have like a full-blown accent, but he does have like
He's an
really
accent that's
good.
wild, I don't
Yeah,
like.
he has a good
He's like a
Tennessee
very regional
accent.
dialect.
Yeah. He has like a very regional accent. It's not like the full-blown like
Well,
country drawl people think of.
I
He
bring
also
it.
writes his own book, FYI.
Well, and I bring it up because there were this book takes place in the Pacific Northwest, outside Seattle. It's Washington. And there were several moments where he slipped into the Southern accent. Like you would just get that slight twang on the end. And it was after like very long descriptives or monologue type issues.
Like he got
And
tired.
yeah. And I just was kind of like, he must be from the South. Because sometimes, you know, as you're talking, you obviously start to relax a little bit and you get going and then your own natural. It wasn't distracting or anything, but I did have a moment like, is he from the South? Because
I've
the.
listened to a couple of his narrations. I've always enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
The two of them were really good together. They really had great chemistry in the audiobook. And Elise was phenomenal. Like, she brought Maggie to life.
I loved her so much. I had never listened to her narrating a book, but like I have any play, and I was like, I'm gonna look and see what all she narrates and just listen to her because I really loved like the personality she added, her grumpiness. She was a delight.
But they weren't really grumpy sunshine. Like I started to write that down, but they weren't really grumpy sunshine because
No,
he's not
not
really
sunshine. I
sunshine. They're more
thought
curmudgeon-y.
they're like past the bullshit phase. Like
Yeah,
there's
well, she
definitely,
definitely is.
I love that. Well,
Like,
and
no joke, when I started reading this, like, I was laying in bed and I started laughing because there were a couple lines where I was like, oh my. And Michael asked me what, and I was like, this character, like, she's me, or rather, I am her. And I could totally see myself saying these things.
saying
Yeah.
these things and
Love
avoiding
her.
people at all
Yeah, I know.
costs.
It's like my
Seriously?
dream.
Okay, I just love that we got a heroine who is like not at all a Hallmark sunshiny girl. Like she is just full bog witch. I love that. Like it fits her personality so well. And yeah, I really identified with her. Like I have my moments of grumpiness and I just, it was like, I'm gonna just let these moments shine because of this book now.
There was so much relatable in this
The
book.
grocery store.
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
me.
yeah.
I'm always like, because I had to like run to the grocery store to pick up a couple things today, and I'm like, do not make eye contact.
So I've just put my earbuds in and tunnel vision. Like, if I see, like, I will see people and I do not even see them. Like, somebody said something to me the other, or like a couple weeks ago, they're like, yeah, I saw you at the store. It's like, oh, I did not see you there. I'm sorry. I may have actually looked at them. Not a clue though.
But didn't
Cause
see
like I
them.
put them in and I just go. Cause it is not a social hour.
There was so much about Maggie, though, like just in, especially because, so I'm a mom of older adult children, and that line of, they don't need to take care of me, but I also like sometimes still feel like I need to coax them through things, like, oh, you're going to go to a party. We'll make sure you say things, like, they don't.
Like, tell them how to be polite.
Yeah, like make sure you use your please and thank yous. And do you have a friend? You know, are you going with somebody?
I did really love the relationship between Kit and Maggie, though. I did
But
too.
the ending made me a little grouchy
Yeah, me
for
too.
Kit. Like, it was
It
totally a
did.
19-year-old something to do. Like, it was totally
It wasn't out of character for
thoughtless.
the age, though, and I think that's why it worked really well. Yes, it made us all mad, but it worked.
Well, and it was so typical that it's the dad's having another baby and a girlfriend, and all of a sudden he's interested in his child he left behind for the last 10 years. Like, okay.
But I did
Like,
enjoy
that
her
never happens
reaction,
in
though.
real life.
No.
Yeah, and the like girlfriend's like closer in age to his son than
Son.
him. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really thought was so incredibly well done was this multicultural aspect, because Maggie herself was not raised within her culture. So she's just like somebody like us, you know, she's discovering the culture, what she likes, what works for her. You know, we're not native to it, even though that is her race, like Vietnamese. But Grandma Birdie doesn't allow her to explore that part of her. She wanted her to be more like the white side of the family.
Grandma Birdie had some issues.
I love that she rebelled by learning to cook.
Well, that she cooked it, and the whole faux scene between the two of them, I was just laughing. Like, they were. What did you think of that meet cute when they realized? Because again, she the whole setup premise of this, the gaming, I thought it was going to be like Dungeons and Dragons tabletop gaming, and it didn't. It ended up being video game, so very World of Warcraft. Skyrim, although I don't think Skyrim has a
No.
guild.
I would
No, it
say
doesn't.
Destiny, like you have
Destiny.
clans and you have that like open area where you could kind of like congregate.
The gaming people are telling me that Skyrim does have guilds and clans and groups, so.
I tried to block that like time in my life out. Like
So. Is
that
that
was
newer,
the
though? I didn't think it always did.
There's like a
I have
social
no
element
idea.
in a lot of games. I never really played video games growing up, but then I got very into Clash of Clans for like years, like creepy into. Like I had a whatever.
You
Anyway,
had a
like I'm
guild.
highly social. I had
Story
a
for another
forum.
time.
I had a
You
guild.
ran pages and things.
We were like in the top 1,000 at one point. Like
It's
it was
intense,
very
Liz.
serious. There were videos. It was very competitive. It got very political at the end, and I burned shit down, like my temper. But anyway, I didn't have time for it anymore. Anyway, but yeah, I really liked that element because, like, there is a social aspect of a lot of games now, and I just love the video game personality, the bug.
Well, when
Bogwitch.
she goes in as the Bog Witch and she has like a real low character because she wants to see who they are and
Yeah.
how they treat women, because notoriously, video game worlds are very chauvinistic. They are very women, He-Man women haters. And I mean, the gaming world drags women. And so, you know, she went in. So that tells me that Kathy Yardley herself must have some
Oh, yeah.
workable knowledge of gaming, of the gaming world, the culture, because she really got all of that well and
Well,
right.
and I think it's funny. So, like, the way that it's set up is like she joins the guild, and Aiden thinks she's this like 80-year-old grandma. And she thinks he's like an 18, 20-year-old like college kid because he's taking classes at the community college, and they like their number gets passed to each other through his mom, who I hate, by the way. Hate her.
Oh,
I do
yeah.
not like her at all. But
Oh.
it's like, so they both have this like idea of who the other person is, and then when they meet, they're like, oh, you're not 20,
You're a
you're
grown-up.
not 80.
I like that he
Like,
winds up
you are
actually
older.
older. Yeah, I like that he actually winds up being older.
Yeah.
And I love their meet cute when he's sick and she's like, "Do you want me to come to your house and bring you soup?" And he's like, "Yes." And then like their meet cute is just hilarious because like as she's there, she's like, "Oh, I could actually be like in a serial killer situation."
And she starts to
She
panic.
does and messages her friend, Amanda, because you aren't a gamer. You don't even, and your husband is not a gamer.
No.
So for that piece of it for you, was it, were you fine with it? Did you feel a little lost within that?
Were you like, this is super nerdy?
No, I mean, I didn't mind it. I don't really know anything about that world, but she explained it well enough, and I have like a basic knowledge, kind of to understand what was going on. So no, it wasn't too technical. It wasn't like off-putting. Like I liked it was almost kind of like a internet dating situation, which, like hidden identity kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that's it's I liked it.
Yeah. So before we get into his mother, because we're going to spend some time there. Get your drinks ready, friends, because we're going to spend some time with the mother. But before we do that, let's talk about the people of the small town. And I guess I didn't put that. This was a small town. The women, Deb.
Fool's Falls.
Fool's Falls, yeah.
Fool's Falls.
I did love that name, too.
Let's talk about Deb. And was her cousin's name Priscilla?
Patience.
I did the
That's what you name a audio. Child.
I did the audio. Names are even harder when you do the audio. You should know better.
And they're even pronounced right for you.
Right? So what did we think of Deb and Patience? And I do want to say, as an older person with children that have gone on to lead their own social or lack of social lives, whatever you want to say, it is hard to make friends once your children are no longer littles in school ages. Once your kids hit middle school, if you do not have a good, solid friend group, you are floating in the abyss by yourself.
Yeah.
And then don't even dream of it when your children are like, you know, in their 20s and you're like, I need friends. That's when you start a podcast and you make people be your friend.
Yeah, I was like, am I supposed to be making friends with these people? Because I don't want them.
Yeah. I mean, you have
a lot of them you don't want to be making friends with anyway.
Yeah, I pretty much live in Fool's Falls, so.
But I did feel like the lack of friendship, the lack of social life, it's awkward as your kids.
Yeah.
You don't have that built-in kid connection anymore.
And well, so even sometimes the building kid connection is hard too, though.
But so you have to actually like people. Well, are you gonna say, Lindsay?
That is fair.
I was gonna say, like, I don't know that I'd even consider like the football Sunday and like the meetups of Deb's like friend meetups, because they were just like vultures. They were basically like, we just want companions in the dating world. It was very much like.
Like a speed
kind
game.
Of like in your 20s, you know, like when, like, basically, if you find a relationship, you drop out of the group. Like, I mean, I hate
it
to say
like
it,
an
but
adult frat person.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that, where like she didn't want to date, and they were like, but why? And they were like, you're gonna date, like, if you're gonna hang out with us, you're gonna date. And it was like, that's such a made me so mad for her. I was like, I would leave that party too. Like, good for you.
Like, yeah, she's like, I don't want to hang out with you, so thanks.
Yeah, she was not somebody.
Off my back. Yeah,
Deb was not somebody I would be friends with.
No,
because
or Patience.
She was.
But
well,
we've
maybe,
all known a Deb.
Just a hot
we've
mess.
All had a Deb in our friend group. We have all that's that outlier that everybody looks at everybody and is like, why the fuck are we still friends with her? Why is she here? Do not sit here and lie.
It's so true.
We have it all had a Deb. And as long as I'm not that Deb, we're fine.
Maybe you are the Deb and we just don't want
to
tell
you. Am I the Deb
you.
In this group? As no. I organize things and drag you all along? I don't care.
Oh, we need a sticker. Hi, I'm the Deb.
I'm yes. the Deb.
Here, I'll wait. Let me write that down.
Y'all can suck it up because...
It's me. I'm
the
Deb.
Deb. Okay, so let's talk about... his mom and his brother and his sister-in-law, and how many people can we burn and like lock in a closet and set the house on fire?
Yeah. So can I just say, when Maggie shows up at that wedding, first off, the way is it Ridley or Riley?
Riley.
So he's like flabbergasted that this woman can look the way she does, and she's like, dude, I know I can look like this. I choose not to.
Yeah.
Like, first off, same. I love that.
Yeah.
And second, the way that she throws down for Aiden to his family, like, I wanted to high five her and then dance because I hated them so much.
So,
but she gets so mad on his behalf that I loved it.
So him as a 50 and her were her ages, they would be younger Gen Xers. And I really appreciated the conversation that he had with Maggie about his sexuality and his identity.
Yeah.
Because as a Gen Xer, it is not necessarily something that it is ingrained for us or that we know. We're all still kind of learning and fumbling along. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to ask my child to explain things to me to make sure that I'm understanding how things work, what's right, what's wrong. I mean, poor Shannon, who writes non-binary polyamorous romances, like, she had to send me a little card with all the different acceptable pronouns.
I think that, like, that was very well done, because I'm a millennial, but I still had, like, you're not given that information anywhere unless you seek it out. And I identify the same way that Aiden does, as a bi demisexual, but I didn't have that wording until I read a book with a demisexual character. Like, I like remember exactly where I was at. I was like, Jeremy, read this. I think this is me. And then did my deep dive into it, which sounds like we don't get it on page, but like Aiden also did. So I think, yeah, it was done in a very realistic way for that age.
Well, and her acceptance, her understanding, her helping to put words for him, like, that almost felt like an instant connection, right? That moment that you know this person needs help with the words, and you can give them to them. You can give them the words so that they can have the autonomy they need to function and to explain themselves. And I just, again, this book is so underrated. Like, why are people not screaming about this book, about it's demisexual, it's bisexual rep? Mm-hmm. Like, this book was phenomenal. And in a situation like this, they were kind of friends to lovers and slow burn. But once we learned about not just Aiden's history, but Maggie's history, and how she hasn't had the easiest of time within relationships, like, every step they took and the five steps backwards and the slow burn aspects, it all worked. It all made sense within this scope. And there wasn't one moment where I was like, could you just fucking kiss already? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have any of that, because everything happened for a reason. It made sense for a reason.
Well, and honestly, like, yes, they're 50 and 48, and yes, they know who they are, but at the same time, there was a lot of self-discovery through this book as well. And I think that was part of it, because at 50, like, you're still figuring stuff out sometimes, especially, like, if you're not sure about, like, how to label yourself. And I think that's the big thing. It's like, there's a lot of learning for the two of them in the fact that, like, yes, Maggie was very, like, outspoken and very, like, gave zero fucks, but, like, she had a lot of insecurities, and Aiden kind of, like, bolstered her. And I think that that was something she was always looking for.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, so many thoughts. Okay, so one of the things I really liked, I don't think this book works as anything other than a slow burn, because I really liked covered two people who were adamantly not looking for a relationship. Like, they weren't. And it shows a very natural progression on how two people not looking for a relationship wind up falling in love. And that's hard to do. And I think she did that. Like, the vehicle she used to drive the plot forward and bring them together, like, they had such a solid foundation. It was like nothing else made sense but a happily ever after by the time you got there for them. And that was so well done. So, so good. Also, it built chemistry between them so well, because, like, when they did finally get together, it was fire.
But it's also a little awkward, which I really enjoyed.
Well, Aiden in the dry humping, and he just, you know.
Just, but it was very, like, them. Like, had it not been awkward at all, like, it would have been weird. Like, if he was, like, this closet, like, dirty talker, where it's just, he's
that
would have been real weird. It would have taken a turn that, like, didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, the awkward, like, it worked well.
So, Amanda, let's talk about Davey and Cheryl, the brother and the ex. And her
hot mess.
Her phone call apology was so fucking lame.
So lame.
I hated it already, and that made me hate her more.
I mean, she was just, she was trash. I mean, she didn't deserve either one of them, Aiden or Davey, even despite, you know, Davy's lack of just, you know, doing anything for his family when Aiden needed him. But yeah, I mean, she was obviously still in love with Aiden or just butthurt about him, you
I
know,
think it was just butthurt.
being
I
with,
think her ego.
Yeah, because
and
she like talks about how she wants to fix everything, right?
yeah.
For
Well, and she made her
hypocritical,
mistakes,
yeah.
and it was her, he was her punishment. Fuck you,
Oh yeah, that's
lady.
right. Oh yeah,
Fuck you,
I blocked
lady.
that out because I was so mad.
I almost threw
But
things.
even when we
Christmas Eve,
first, too.
yeah.
Right?
But even when we first met her, like she, like when we first meet Davy and her, like she makes a point that like Davy's other son could not be called Bug anymore. It's
Right.
like,
Yeah, he's too
first off,
old.
it's not your kid. Like, yes, you're the stepmom, but not your kid. And also, if he doesn't have an issue being called
Right.
Bug,
Yeah.
then you should not have an issue with it. Like, clearly he doesn't mind it because he answers to it and his mother calls him that.
Yeah.
She's like a she's on
Okay.
like a power trip where she
I'm
wants
not gonna
all
lie.
wanted I almost
She's
wanted
a
like
Deb. I have an
a Deb. She's a
ex-sister-in-law.
Deb.
She's
She
a
is a
Deb.
Deb.
I have an ex-sister-in-law. That is a Cheryl. I have, you know, so like I get it. I get it.
Well, I mean, she's a Cheryl with an S, so it's like you she's even more like pretentious. So.
the one thing with the mother and the brother, like, and the brother just wants to be completely oblivious and give mom a car. As somebody that's caring for an older parent, you know, I have to say, my mother has been super easy. Like, as we've said, you really can't drive anymore. You don't have the wits about you. I mean, she learned
You're
earlier this
very
week.
lucky that that has happened that way, though.
Right. Well, but earlier this week, like 2 days ago, she learned she has to stop drinking.
Oh
Oh,
no.
that one you might have some hard times
It's
with.
gonna be an
The
interesting.
driving wasn't an issue, the
She
drinking.
like so, but you know what? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how siblings don't see this. Like, how do you
Because they're
not
not
see that
there.
your mother is not, you know? I don't
Because they're
know.
not there, and like they once they're out of sight, like they are out of mind, like and they it is not their problem because somebody else will take care
But
of it.
Davy and
I think,
Cheryl were like literally the worst.
yeah, I think there's a level of denial there too. Like,
Yeah.
as like you're caring for a dying parent, or because it doesn't sound like as his dad was dying, they were involved with that
Right. No.
either.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a level of denial, like they're my parents, they're gonna be fine, I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you already lost
Yeah.
dad. And but also the mom. Like, I get being stubborn, older. I mean, she's probably in her 80s, doing her thing, whatever. Like, I do understand that. But in this book, like, if her husband died, and I get being bitter. I had a grandmother that when her husband died, she became very bitter. But you don't see your son for all that. I don't know. I've seen both sides of this, and it was
Yeah.
really relatable.
She's just an old, mean person. But it
Yeah.
sounded like they were mean before he died
Just
because
very
they did
judgmental. Yeah.
not understand Aiden. They did not want to understand Aiden. They did not want Aiden to be the this bad guy, like in their world. Like being bi is like an abomination, basically. And I
You're
think that
going to hell.
that's the thing. It's like they Well, he even talks about how Davy was always the favorite, like when even when they were younger. So like
Yeah.
he's never like he changed his entire life to come home and care for them. But there was zero appreciation for it, zero respect
Yeah.
for anything that he did. Like, dude was a nurse who owned a hospice company, but yet he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, and the mom, when she was like, can you be all these things and we not tell the ladies at church?
Yeah. Or just not tell anybody at all. And I liked that he didn't go for that. He was like, no,
It doesn't work that way.
no.
But also, like, don't date Maggie. You should date Deb.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? She was such a problem.
She was.
But I also, I thought Davy enabled a lot of that and
like escalated things unnecessarily, because like Aiden was actively trying to tell him, like, I'm struggling, I need help, like these things, I'm struggling, like we need to provide a united front. And he was like, she can't drive anymore. And Davey's solution was, okay, I'm gonna get her a car,
right?
A brand new car. Right. Like,
because the car is going to help him.
Like,
and before they even had that conversation, like, he had to drive like 2.5 hours because he's not answering the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, and then he's like, why did you just show up? It's like, no, like, why wouldn't I just show up? I've tried to text and call you.
I wanted to see like the consequences of that. Like almost like a little, like a sneak peek into it after the fact. I wanted to see
Like, does the mom have a car accident? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that he and Maggie left the falls. And
yes.
Yeah.
And there was a third act breakup there, but it wasn't really a third act breakup. There was drama
like
with the ex, and it took them both. And that was something that was really interesting. It wasn't traditional miscommunication, because they were having the conversations. They didn't necessarily always have the words to have the conversations.
Well, like, but I think
there was some emotionally stuntedness in this.
But they're both so introverted, and like hiding is their default. And so I think that is a big part of that. And like when she kicks him out, when the ex shows up, like he wants to stay, but he also recognizes like he needs to leave, because then like if he doesn't, then he's losing like a modicum of trust with her.
Yeah, and I know. I'm still a little bitter at Kit about that. I'm still a little bitter at Kit about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of the things I don't understand. Like, I feel like, and maybe that's part of what she was trying to go for here, that like you don't always know your kid as well as you think you do. But like, they seemed very out of character based on what we knew about Kit.
From
Maggie's perspective, like why
he was very in character for being 19
would he ever show up with her ex,
because they don't necessarily think about it. He thought that he was doing a good thing by manipulating his mother to go and be social, even though he wasn't necessarily open and sharing about his life.
Well,
and at 19, they know everything.
Early, like, he thought, like, if I show up early, I'm doing something good, because then, I'm showing up early to spend time with her. Like, there was not a lot of thought process behind how he showed up early.
And there were, like, circumstances that made things go more wrong, like the car being in the driveway. Like, maybe the dad wouldn't come in if there wasn't another car in the driveway. Yeah. Like, because apparently there's serial killers abound in Fool's Falls.
19-year-olds and 20-year-olds know everything.
I mean, their frontal lobes are not fully formed yet, so.
They know everything. Just saying. I'm
not sure they are at 40 either, but.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Scientifically,
that felt a little personal there, Jenny.
Who was it to you?
It wasn't to me, but maybe to someone you love.
Maybe.
Stacy says the cover was a little misleading to make you think it was tabletop gaming. I thought the cover's adorable. I love this cover. The people have faces. They're always going to win.
They have faces.
It's a Lenny cover.
It is a Lenny cover.
Isn't she wearing leg warmers?
No, she has ripped jeans on.
No, wool socks. Her socks. I love her socks.
But she has ripped jeans on.
I don't.
Because she only has one old pair of jeans. Like,
yeah,
they address the ripped jeans.
Like the first chapter.
That's okay. I called Leah today and I said something about get your pants on, and she's like, "I don't have my pants on." She's like, "Well, wait, I have my pants on, but I don't have those pants on."
No, you asked me if I was wearing my petty pants, and I had a moment where I was like, "I'm not wearing pants," but I was sitting in my office. So I was like, well, no, I do have pants on.
But she spoke it all out loud. She's like,
I had all the thoughts out loud.
I mean,
I had pants on. I had hard pants on at that.
Hard pants are literally the worst.
Well, it happens.
Literally the worst.
I don't have hard pants on now. I have soft pants on, but I do have pants on.
There we go. I mean, these are the things we should know if Leah has pants on or not.
Oh, I guess they are leggings. Sorry. No.
Okay. So let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Also, if you would like, I came up with three drinks inspired by the book, and you will find those on our on-the-shelf show notes. We also sent them out early this morning in our newsletter, and if you want to get other cool stuff like that, you should join our newsletter, because it's amazing. It comes out...
I mean, I wouldn't say amazing, but it's okay.
It's amazing.
It's informative.
It's informative.
It is informative.
We tell you all the things. Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Wait, did anybody have anything else they wanted to talk about in this book? We can talk about other things after we do this part.
One of the nicest threads on Reddit I've ever read was about this book.
Really?
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
There are nice people on Reddit?
There are. I always look and, like, yeah, it came, I forgot about this, but, like, on Reddit, there was, like, a whole... entire thread about this book in particular, and everybody was like, this is so refreshing, this is so nice. And then somebody, I guess, knew Elise, who narrated it, and was like, my friend narrated this book and won an award, and like everybody was so happy about this book. And like, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a Reddit thread where there's not like one sarcastic jerk on there.
Right.
But for this book,
people were happy. This book made me happy.
Yeah,
it did.
This was incredibly enjoyable. I went through the entire thing going, oh my God, this is so good. I love this.
I was so nervous about the length of time. Like, it is a very long audiobook. I think it was like 13 and a half hours. So when I looked at that, I was like, what the heck are you guys doing to me? And then I was like, hooked. And I was like, I don't want to stop listening to this.
Yeah. Okay, we'll start with Amanda. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Amanda.
Oh, it was a thumbs up, definitely.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And this is a thumbs up for me. I cannot recommend this book enough. It is going to be my entire personality for a minute. I want all the mature...
It is your entire personality for most of the time.
It really is. I am a bog True. Witch. I am a Deb. And a bog witch. I just loved it. I really loved it. I love the kind of gaming nerdy rep. I love, you know, the discovery.
The thing is, like, it was an easy read. Like, it was comforting. It was concise. It was mature characters. And it was, like, a nice break from some of the chaos that authors sometimes give us. Like, yes, there was chaos in the book, but it all made sense. And it was like very emotional at the same time, but it was just really well done.
I think some of the most phenomenal character arcs and development I've read in a minute.
Yeah.
Like there was something about, you know, if we look at where Maggie was when the book started to where she was in the end, even into her epilogue, same with Aiden, you know, the fact that he put to words the things that he had been avoiding putting to words or not, didn't have the words. Like, those character arcs were phenomenal. And this was a book full of stakes.
Well, and there was one thing that I thought was interesting is, like, we do get the epilogue, but they talk about, like, how they're going out with people. And it's, like, one of the big things throughout the story was, like, how introverted they both are and how they don't really like to people a lot, which I know how that one goes. But it's, like, But I think it's because, like, they're in a new place that's just theirs, that there's a new comfort in, like, their relationship and, like, their lives. So, like, yeah, they don't have, like, they're not, like, thriving in the friend world, but, like, they've created, like, a really great space for them in, the new, like, their new place.
And community. Okay, so if people liked this book, what books would you recommend for them?
I put two on there just because I'm really bad about shelving, but I just had the two from the Green Valley Library, which was Love in Due Time by L.B. Dunbar. It's book one. And then, you know, they're mature characters. And it's kind of like a later in life, like after, you know, after they've both been through some stuff. I really like that one, and I'm totally blanking on their names. But and then the other one was actually Kathy Yardley's entrance into that series, The Pros Before Bros. If you just like the way she writes, like that was my first book by her. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really like the way she writes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
LB Dunbar is known for writing mature older characters. I really loved her book Aftercare. It's about a woman, her daughter is grown, graduating college, and she meets a manager of a band, and it's after she's had breast cancer, after she's had a mastectomy, and, you know, diving into a relationship after all of that. Lillian Moore has a series called Dirty Little Midlife Dilemma. That's the book, but it's her Heart's Cove hotties, but I think the majority of them are mature couples. The Redo by Max Monroe, they're both over 40. It's a second chance. Gray Hair Don't Care by Karen Booth, it's another Lenny cover. And she's older. And then Fast Women by Jennifer Cruzy, it is a slower burn. It is Closed Door, Fade to Black. And it so it leans a little more towards women's fiction. So those were my recs. Does anybody else have any recs?
I have two. I have Gaining Miles by Claire Kingsley. It is the mom of like all of the Miles kids and Ben. And then I also have, if you like the older hero and heroine, Unbreakable by Crystal Daniels and Sandy Alvarez. It's in her their MC series, but like the hero and the heroine are both older. So they have like a different set, like style of maturity than some of her other books do.
I would even say the one that's the general manager for the Titans.
Bryn.
No. Callum. Callum, yeah. By Sawyer Bennett.
Bryn is the owner.
That's yeah. Right. They both of those have older, they're both older, mature, second chance at love.
Well, Dax, they're not both older, just Dax is older.
Yeah. Okay. So we liked this book. We are doing something a little different in December. So our first Wednesday episode in December is we are going to talk and break down Married Gentlemen that is currently streaming on Netflix. I have so many thoughts, you guys. So many thoughts.
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't have any thoughts as of now.
But... Oh, you will.
You will.
Very quickly.
We're back next Wednesday with that.
We should make some Merry Gentlemen drinks.
We could do some Merry Gentlemen drinks. I'm not sure how much we should be drinking on a Wednesday, though. Like, this works because
we don't have to go anywhere.
We don't have to go anywhere tomorrow. But overall, I'm not sure that we should be drinking on Wednesdays.
I mean, we could still think about drinking on Wednesdays.
We could think about drinking on Wednesday.
That was a party day when I was in college. But again, I think we're closer to the mature.
I am in the mature. Yeah.
Are we though?
Ladies night was always Wednesday night. You could get.
There you go.
25 cent, 8 ounce. Drafts.
Are we ladies though?
I mean, I'm not a fucking lady. Are you a lady?
I mean,
well, it's cheaper drinks.
I mean, it's cheap if I just drink at home too.
I have to just say, like, when we were in Monterey last week, we did Tipsy Putt. I think it was a Wednesday night. But they had a place, like Charlie's dream is to have a putt-putt place that serves tiki drinks. And this place was a putt-putt place that served, it was a brewery that had putt-putt inside. And let me tell you, genius idea. Love.
Did you play putt-putt better with the beer? Because I am not good at putt-putt. But I feel like if I was drunk, I might be good at putt-putt.
I was not drunk. I was the DD. I made all of his coworkers go with us because they were there for a conference. So I was. Yeah, anyway.
But they had giving a people a weapon while they time. Drink.
They probably didn't. I was like, guys, I expect maximum enthusiasm starting now. And they did.
That's so nice.
All the math nerds.
All the math. Well, they might have been mathletes. They're athletes.
It was the best night of our lives, guys.
Probably for them.
I mean, it could be.
I mean, I don't know what Lindsay's saying. Does any of this shock? Lindsay's on a bowling league out of all of us, you guys.
Is this shocking to anybody?
Is this shocking to anyone that she wants to do putt-putt and get intoxicated while she putt-putts?
Well, apparently she was like Clash of Clans like royalty, and right? we had no clue. So
I mean,
there are things we learn about Lindsay each week we talk to her.
Who is this even in our midst? Like, I don't even know that we're worthy to have like a Clash of Clans royalty. Might be the most
like well-rounded out of all of us.
I didn't have the internet or cable TV growing up, so like I'm just like a we'll try it. Same. We'll see what happens. Like, it could be bad. It's mostly
I didn't have cable TV growing up.
I didn't either.
I couldn't get it in my home.
But all of my friends.
We did, however, have dial-up internet.
And internet.
We had to wait for that.
Oh, yeah. We had cable.
I didn't get real internet until college.
Kids do not know the pain of waiting for that dial tone to connect.
You don't even know the real pain. And because you had it for maybe like 2 months and then DSL was out by 99.
Me? No, I'm not. We did not have DSL out in the boondocks where I grew up.
You do live in
the had one of those giant like saucer like satellite dishes in my yard for years. Like, that's how we watched TV.
And you couldn't be like on the internet like after work hours in case your parents called because there's only one phone line. Like, yeah.
See, we had two phone lines. We felt special.
You were.
I saw people commenting, how old are you? How high school old are you? And several people were like, oh, I had a pager. I had a beeper. And I was like, I had my own phone line.
Yeah, my one kid always likes to tell me, like, you're so old, Netflix came in the mail.
I mean, this is true.
Yeah.
We were just excited to get. Like,
I'm older than Google.
Yeah.
My kid is older than Google. My 21-year-old is older than Google.
Yeah, but that is like, people can't believe that I'm older than Google.
You don't look 21.
I know I don't look 20. Hey, now. I might. I could pass for 21.
Wait, show everybody your gray spots, Leah.
Oh, you can't see it very good. Is it dry shampoo or is it gray hair?
That's like, so funny. I have
Is it Lindsay? Is it funny?
So my gray hair, it's funny. Like, I started going like very gray at my temples at the same time my dog started going really gray. So I joke with Charlie, like, I'm going to keep it forever as a bonding souvenir.
My dog and I went gray together.
That's really fun.
So stupid.
Okay. I will say, though, I have more gray hair than my 70-year-old mother, so that hurts sometimes.
Hey, you don't have to worry about it until somebody starts calling it a skunk stripe.
Oh. Well, it's like back here. I can hide it.
Does that to my mom. She dyes her hair, so like when it grows out, like she let it grow a lot out in COVID, and my brother just like really went hard on the that's your skunk stripe. Like, kids are good for the ego, I hear.
They're great. Don't have
they them. Are amazing.
Don't do it. Also, okay, so I should also say that starting in January, we aren't going to be announcing the whole lineup of books for each month at the first of the previous month. We're going to start rolling them out slowly. It just gives us a little bit more
flexibility
if we want to change a book because it's not hitting or something comes up that we're like, oh my gosh, we'll still have a theme and we'll try to stick within the theme. But we'll give you a book releases probably 3 weeks before the episode will air. We'll let you know. If it's one that you probably were going to have to check out from a library or something, then again, we'll probably do it 4 weeks so that you have time. But I think we're really diving into backlist. So we're looking at older titles, not necessarily new releases. So anyway, there's that. And again, next week, we're back with our review of Netflix original Merry Gentlemen and Chad Michael Murray's hair, which should get its own line in the credits. It needs its own IMDb. And then we're back on Sunday. We'll be here the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're talking about all the new authors we discovered in 2024. So I think that's it. Anybody have anything else we need to talk about before we go?
I don't think so.
Okay. Everybody enjoy your holiday. Until then, until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.